Ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
If you open up your cell phone or your iPad, you'll find lithium-ion batteries powering the units. The same goes for those electric cars we see on the road. The lithium-ion batteries work far better than the standard nickel-cadmium batteries, and the inventors of the lithium-ion units actually won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for their discovery. But there are still some limitations on how well lithium-ion batteries perform. Now, two UWM scientists have created a material that may dramatically increase the energy storage capacity of lithium-ion batteries. And they've raised more than $1.5 million and started their own company to bring the product to market. UWM physics professors Carol Hirschmugel and Maria Gajdarczyk, who is also the dean of the UWM Graduate School, are behind the discovery, and they join us on this edition of UWM Today. Welcome. Good to have both of you with us today, Maria and Carol.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Let's begin, Carol, with you. First of all, for our listeners, describe exactly what it is that you discovered. What is this material that could be a game changer?
So this material is the first form of solid carbon monoxide at room temperature and room pressure. It's something we've heard about in the past, something similar to graphene that's a two-dimensional layer of carbon. In our case, it's two-dimensional carbon monoxide. And we'll talk a little bit more about how that improves our batteries that we use today.
Well, and Carol, this is really, really tiny elements here. We're talking about microscopic pieces of material that you came across.
That's correct. We discovered this at a very small amount at the nanoscale, which is, if you consider your hair, that's about a thousandth the diameter of the end of your hair. So it's a very small amount where we discovered it.
Well, Maria, let's bring you into the conversation. You also are a physics professor, and were you looking for this? Is this something that you and Carol sort of stumbled across?
Well, as always, we were conducting planned research, and we were taking something called graphene oxide to try and make graphene for a project we had on sensors. And in the experiment that we conducted inside my microscope, We were trying to get rid of oxygen like everybody else, and we ended up actually ordering our oxygen in this two-dimensional crystal of carbon monoxide, and we named it graphene monoxide. And the material ends up having some really interesting properties. It is a semiconductor, so potentially it can have applications in that industry. It can help with sensors. And we also, when we started to look into applications, batteries, lithium-ion batteries that you introduced, Tom, looked like the first market where we need to go with this, because the material has some really unique properties that allows it to hold more lithium than the current material, which is graphite, and it allows the material to uptake and release the graphite much faster. So charging these batteries can be much, much faster, which is a very important goal. If you really want to have our cars, you want to be able to charge them faster and all the electronic devices. And it also contributes to safety, because the side where we're putting in is the side that would be like the fuse of a fire in a battery. And so we're kind of taking care of the fuse.
You know, did both of you have any idea that there was so much potential when you came across this new material? Did you have an aha moment, or were you still scratching your head saying, this is different?
So I think the prepared mind knows what to look for, and as Louis Pasteur stated, and we didn't know where this was leading to. We didn't know what it would perform better as, etc. It was more just oh, there's something new here. Let's see what this is. Let's figure this out. And that started this long journey that actually started back in 2010 and has been a journey with a lot of different people to just start to understand what this new form of material was. And so it's been amazing to really find out about all the different things that we could have an impact in that when we discovered it, we really had no idea.
You know, I love to do these interviews with people like you, scientists who have had a discovery, because it really does speak to how much we have yet to learn about the world around us, right? I mean, here you've got an industry that has been producing lithium-ion batteries for years and years and years. It is just part of the normal course of our daily action. We're using these batteries all the time, and here you've found a material that could dramatically increase the way in which those batteries work. Let's talk about the practical applications of this. If you are successful in getting this scaled up, what would it mean in terms of charging my car or charging my phone? What difference could this new material make in my own routine life? Carol?
Okay, so the big thing is that we've demonstrated that it can charge much more quickly than graphite can charge. Today, Tesla is developing cars that can do turbocharging with the rate of charging within an hour. So you can go have a meal, eat your dinner, and then come to your charged car. Whereas normally every day what you do is charge your car for 24 hours in order, 8 to 24 hours to get it charged up. So that's great. You know, sit down, have a meal, get your charged battery and move on. But we really would like our batteries to charge in the time it takes to drink a cup of coffee or the time it takes to fill up your gasoline tank. In order to adopt electric vehicles, that's what's necessary. And that's what our material can start to help facilitate. So that was an exciting discovery when we discovered that is where we have a big impact.
So we're talking about a matter of minutes instead of hours to get that charge. And boy, what a difference that would make for those of us who have contemplated electric vehicles and then said, but you know, I've got to drive 400 miles to go see my daughter downstate. And that's not going to work too well if I run out of juice on the way. So this really could be, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, a real game changer. What sort of reaction have you had to the discovery? Maria, if you've been working on it for several years, obviously it's still a work in progress. What's the early verdict on what this might mean for industry?
Well, Tom, in the beginning, as we said, we started by having a fundamental scientific project and discovering this new form of matter. And then with UWM being very entrepreneurial, and we have now a Luber Center for Entrepreneurship, we took part of a program called iCore, which is a program that teaches people in academia how to get into the world of commercializing their inventions. And as part of that, we first did the Wisconsin iCore, and we talked to many companies in our area. And of course, actually, Milwaukee is very famous for energy storage. We've been in the business of batteries for a long, long time, lead acid batteries, which still are in our cars, and now some of the other newer form of batteries in many companies. So that became an obvious focus for us, because people we spoke with, they were saying, oh, this really would be a game changer. Oh, we really would need this. This is, you're trying to discover what are people's pain points and what are their wildest dreams, if you could provide them. And it looks like there was a response both on the pain points, yes, this would really help me, or, oh, I would love that. Then we became part of the National I-Corps. We were in the Silicon Valley cohort, and that gave us funding to also fly around the country and talk to many other people in various companies. And what we started to discover in Wisconsin a year later was confirmed. We have talked with more than 250 potential customers, and that essentially allowed us to determine how do we go about coming up with our business plan in this new way of lean startup, and how do we go about establishing a business and getting the first funding and doing the R&D that is necessary to get closer to adoption.
So this is a long way from where the two of you started as physics professors, right? I mean, you're capitalists now, correct?
Yeah. We have been transformed from physicists and professors into capitalists through this process, yes.
Are you enjoying the ride? This is really quite remarkable to see how you have how you began the journey, first of all, but now literally talking to hundreds of potential customers. What's it been like?
It has been an interesting journey. I love to learn, and I know my co-founder Maria also loves to learn, and so this has been a great opportunity to find out how different it is to be running a small company or understanding what it takes to have a product and have someone want to buy that product. It's such a different world than being a professor and teaching students. And it's also useful because having to learn something new also helps to feed how I talk to students as well, because I've been on that learning end more recently than, 20 years ago when I learned physics, et cetera.
So it's exciting for students to know that they're, in the company of people who not only are brilliant in their own right, and that's, my observation based on knowing both of you, but also the fact that it provides perhaps a model or an example for how the students' careers might unfold also, correct?
Absolutely, yes. And we're involving students as much as we can in this whole process, as well as participating with the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center, who is also facilitating new developments on campus with other students, et cetera. So that whole ecosystem has been really excellent to promote additional discussions with others and to be able to provide that insight for other students to learn what their future directions might be.
So it's wonderful that you've discovered this new product, this new property. CoFight, I believe, right, is the name that you've given it.
Is the name of the product? Yes, that's
the name of the product. But you've discovered it in really tiny amounts. The applications that you both have been talking about, making cars drive faster, keeping our phones charged more. I mean, we're talking about millions of vehicles and devices out there. How do you go ahead and go from discovering a tiny little bit of this new material to actually getting it ready to go out and begin powering the batteries that ultimately will run the cars and run the devices? Where are you in terms of that development, Maria?
So the word is scale up, and we learned that word as we were doing our interviews, and people who were very interested, they said, your first important task is to scale up the material. And so part of our proposals that we wrote and the funding that we've raised so far from the Department of Energy and from the National Science Foundation has been to scale up in the lab to be able to make amounts where we can make real batteries of a meaningful size, like the size that is in a phone, and demonstrate that one has these desirable, superlative properties. And now that we've done that, our latest development is that the Department of Energy is now investing directly into Argonne National Lab. They have a center for manufacturing where they are actually helping companies to scale up production of materials. And that is one of our most recent successes. We are matching that with collaboration with a partner company and with our own work. And so after we have scaled up in the lab to be able to demonstrate these phone size companies, now we're trying to scale up with Argonne National Lab to make it to this larger size of batteries, which are like car size batteries. And once we have the recipes for the scale-up would be done in a way that it can then go to an industrial manufacturing plant, like a toll manufacturer or contract manufacturing operation, so that our company can manufacture through a toll manufacturer and then sell the material to the customers.
Any prediction on how long all of that will take?
So our timeline right now is to make 4 flour bags worth. If you consider that flour that all of us are buying these days to make our bread.
And Christmas cookies.
Or Christmas cookies. Our goal is to make about 4 bags of that worth by the mid of 2022. And what that does is that positions us such that we can have our material tested by battery companies in their formulations. This is a very critical step to happen for them to actually stop their current production, interrupt it, use our material in conjunction with their materials, with their processes, to demonstrate to themselves that they can make quality batteries while integrating our material into their process. Once they've done that and validated for themselves that the information that we're showing them from our measurements works similarly to what we've shown them, then they would be willing to actually place that first order and order that first amount of material from us. So we anticipate that by mid of 2022, we'll have that first batch of material made with the pilot studies at Argonne National Laboratory, and then start both working with the battery companies as well as working with the contract manufacturing organizations to start making that material in larger quantities with customer requests in hand.
Very, very exciting. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in our remote studios are Maria Gadarczyska. She's the dean of UWM's graduate school, also professor of physics, as is Carol Hirschmugel, who, along with Maria, have discovered a new material called Kophyte, discovered in the labs right here on the UWM campus, that could be a remarkable new way of improving the effectiveness or efficiency of lithium-ion batteries, those batteries we all depend on for the video games we play and the cars, many of us, the cars that we drive. Maria, as Carol describes the next step, getting those 4 flour bags full of the new Kophyte material produced, there's risk here, right? I mean, there's no guarantee that that this is all going to work according to plan. Are you guys nervous? Are you absolutely confident that you could go ahead and bring it to the next level?
In the world of research and in the world of entrepreneurship, right? Nothing is sure. Those are the riskiest worlds, but also the rewards are the largest. And yes, there is a risk. And we also learned very early that you have to always think about pivoting. So we are also going to meetings where there is a discussion about various applications of the graphene-based materials, and our graphite is, the only solid form of carbon monoxide. It's in that family of materials. And people are applying this in many, many, many places. And the amount of material needed is different for the different applications. Of course, we believe that we will overcome all the risks and we will be able to then go to barrels and to train cars so that we can be the dominant material in all the electric vehicles, helicopters, airplanes. We even visited NASA and we learned what it is that they want and need, and we've continued to talk with them for their kinds of applications. But if one cannot make the train cars, there are plenty of things that can be done at the nanoscale at with the smaller amounts of materials. So essentially, the scale up that we've achieved already has been very, very important. We've already scaled up by a billion times from where we discovered. And one could even have applications of single monolayers of our material at very much higher cost. But, you know, we are working on meeting all the risks and overcoming them and always thinking about where else can we apply this material.
Did either of you ever take a business course? Any classes in business school that might have prepared you for this journey that you're on?
Not before joining ICOR. I consider the ICOR courses, you know, my introduction to entrepreneurship. However, I will say my father pointed out when I told him that I was starting this company, he pointed out that I was the last one of all my seven siblings to do that. And he was very proud of that.
So it does run in the family?
I guess it runs in the family, yes.
How about you, Maria? Did you ever envision when you were growing up that you, I suspect you thought you might be a scientist. You know, we all have a dream as a young person. Did you ever imagine that you would be an entrepreneur when you were little?
No, I guess not when I was little, but when I was done with my undergraduate studies in physics, I was thinking, should I do a master's in business and start my own restaurant? It was just an idea. I love eating and cooking. But the one thing that I want to say is that being at a university, a comprehensive campus like UWM, both Carol and I have had amazing benefits of having our two-hour-long cups of coffee with individual colleagues in the Lubar School of Business and getting like a complete dump of their knowledge of what do we need to do, what do we need to learn, some references. And so we've already had those kinds of really intense, very learning-rich interviews with three of our faculty colleagues from the School of Business, and of course, the leaders of the Entrepreneurship Center, the entrepreneurs in residence, and we also have put together a business advisory board. So we kind of learning through research is the deepest kind of learning. You learn things better than in any course, and I think our experience is very similar. The kind of learning that we're doing right now, talking with our business advisors and colleagues, is this deep kind of learning because you have a burning question and you really need an answer to it.
You know, I haven't mentioned it before, but you actually have a name for your company. It is Konovate, right? Konovate Incorporated?
Yes, we were previously known as Safely LLC, so that was a limited liability corporation. And in order to go to the next step of getting funding from venture capitalists and angel investors, et cetera, there's a need in the industry to go to a Delaware C Corp setup. And so that we initiated that process. And with that, we decided to also evaluate the name of our company and determined that Konovate, that represents carbon monoxide innovation, would be more representative of everything we're doing in the company, as opposed to safely, which was really specific about batteries. Because in the end, we really see this as something impacting a wide range of fields, et cetera.
Carol, you mentioned venture capitalist. So have you had any feelers from people with a big bankroll who are saying, hey, I want a piece of this action?
We're having a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. I'm not at liberty to talk too much about it at this moment.
Nobody's but it's listening. It's just we, our radio friends wouldn't mind at all if we share a word or two. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So, Maria, as you take a look at the impact that this is having on the university, it probably would be helpful to explain that not only might the two of you, you and Carol, as co-founders of the company and co-discoverers of this new material, would ideally benefit from personally from the investment, but the university also benefits, doesn't it, by virtue of how you're licensing this new product?
Exactly. The university has equity in the company as well as part of the licensing agreement and would get additional income from licensing. And I think it is definitely a win-win. I also want to kind of plug in, Carol and I have kind of been role models for women in physics, and now we're going beyond gender. We're trying to be role models of faculty and entrepreneurship to show our students that in addition to filling vacancies in the economy, which is very important, they can start their own jobs, they can start their own companies. And kind of the students that are working with us get to experience that on a daily basis.
How about your peers? How about your fellow professors, other people in the academic world? What have they had to say about this new chapter in your lives?
I think it is very different. One of our retired faculty that has been a role model for us, he was like, really, this is now possible? At my time, people would have said, no, don't do that. And I think the reaction is very different, and it tends to be a little bit age specific. I think some of our younger colleagues and colleagues in mid-career are looking at it and saying, oh, I should really pay attention to this. How do I sign up for iCore? Where do I learn this? And some of our more senior colleagues are saying, being a professor is the most important thing.
It sounds to me like you're getting the best of both worlds, right? You know,
yeah.
Because you haven't given up teaching, you haven't given up research. This is just a companion to your primary role. Just wonderful, wonderful work. Well, we just have to, again, congratulate both of you on the tremendous accomplishments that you have had in certainly both your academic career, being great professors, and Maria being dean of the graduate school here at UWM, but also a special tip of the hat for developing a company around a product that you've discovered or a material that you've discovered. And we just wish you the very, very best and ask you to come back on as this journey continues and we can give our listeners an update on whether or not they're going to be able to charge that car in 6 minutes instead of 6 hours. That may happen someday thanks to the invention that you folks have come across. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Maria Gardojiska, the Dean of UWM's Graduate School and Professor of Physics, along with Carol Hirschmugel, also professor in the Physics Department, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Thanks for joining us. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.